this morning. Because if you didn't get it this morning, we're going to have a continuation of it tonight. When I was coming back from Alabama from my doctor's appointments to see my dad that's ill, Friday, the Lord started dealing with me, and on the way traveling while Miss Darby was driving me back up here all safe and sound, the Lord was giving me something. And He gave it to me, and I prayed about when to preach it, and it's tonight. And then He gave me that message I preached to you this morning. That's one I preached years ago. I already had that. This is a brand spanking new one. And He said, we're going to get it all together. And He showed me which one to preach this morning. And now we're going to do a continuation of it tonight. But I think it would be very good if Brother Mark sang that song again as we continue with the same thought that I had this morning. And you just need to remember what you used to be. You need to remember what you were outside of Christ. Don't ever get self-righteous. Don't ever get puffed up. Never forget what a wicked, unbelievably wicked person some of us were. We were wicked. Jesus Christ came by and He wiped the slate clean. He put something in me Dennis Knowles didn't have. And again, I'll say this. If you ever see Dennis Knowles do anything good, that's the Lord Jesus Christ doing it in him. And if you ever see Dennis Knowles doing anything bad, you know what that is? That's Dennis Knowles.
Right. The things that I love and hold dear to my heart are just borrowed. They're not mine at all. Jesus only let me use them to brighten my life. So remind me, dear Lord. Nothing good have I done to deserve God's own Son. I'm not worthy of the scars in His hand. Yet He chose the road to Calvary to die in my stead. Why?
Let's go ahead and get our Bibles out tonight. I would like for you to take your Bible, please, and turn to the book of Psalms. And then I want you to turn specifically to the book, to the chapter 124. Psalm 124. I want you to stand, please. We're going to read that entire psalm. Psalm 124. Psalm 124. Boy, this is a good one. As you can tell, if you read the superscription above your psalm, it's a song of degrees of David. Notice what it says. Psalm 124, verse number 1. If it had not been the Lord who was on our side, now may Israel say, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side when men rose up against us, then they had swallowed us up quick when their wrath was kindled against us. Then the waters had overwhelmed us. The stream had gone over our soul. Then the proud waters had gone over our soul. Blessed be the Lord who hath not given us as a prey to their teeth. Our soul is escaped as a bird out of the snare of the fowlers. The snare is broken and we are escaped. I like how this thing ends. Our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. Brother Dan, would you pray for this, and we can all be seated. Amen. Yes. Please, Lord. Please. Yes, Lord. Amen. Yes. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Yes, Lord. Amen. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Tonight, I want to preach a message entitled, If It Had Not Been for the Lord. If it had not been for the Lord. Amen. We wouldn't have any hope, any help. Now, first of all, I want you to understand that doctrinally, this entire psalm deals with the divine deliverance of the nation of Israel in the tribulation period. What's going on here is this is prophetically saying that if it was not for the fact that the Lord is on Israel's side, and by the way, let it be known, God is on Israel's side. I don't care what the news media says, bless God, He's on Israel's side. Anybody that fools with Him, He'll blow them up if He wants to. Amen. Put that on camera. Amen. But he said, if it wasn't for the fact that the Lord is on the Israel side, prophetically talking about when the tribulation period is going to be here, they would be destroyed by the Antichrist and the wicked men of the world. Historically or practically or in the context of what it is, it could be Israel fighting the Philistines, the Ammonites and the Syrians, and God delivering them from it. But I want to apply this devotionally tonight to us as Christians here in this church. And I want us to look at it devotionally and apply the psalm to God's children. Because if it had not been for the Lord, we'd be in a mess. Now remember this morning I preached on, don't forget where you came from. I preached on the fact that many Christians get to a point where God saved them and they've been saved for many years and they start to grow in their life and they get to a point where they almost forget what they used to be before they get saved. They get a little self-righteous, get to looking at other people that ain't come along as far as them and looking down at them and lose their compassion for sinners. And they lose their compassion for folks that are struggling. And somehow they forget how messed up they were. They forget how wicked they were. They forget how lost and undone they were. And every once in a while, it pays us good. As one of my teachers used to say, it behooves you to just reflect back to how you were before you met Christ. And get to thinking about how messed up you were, how messed up your life was, where you were headed, and see where you would probably be today if it wasn't for the precious blood of Christ saving your soul from hell. Now what I want us to do here tonight is look at it like this. Look at it. Where would we be? Where would we be heading tonight if it wasn't for the love of Christ? If it wasn't for Christ doing something for us, if it wasn't for the Lord being on our side. First of all, we would have been swallowed up. That's what he says there, verse number 3. Then they had swallowed us up quick when their wrath was kindled against us. We'd been swallowed up. The world would have swallowed you up.
Notice what he says here. We would have been overwhelmed, verse number 4. Then the waters had gone, waters had overwhelmed us. The stream had gone over our soul. Notice verse number 6. Blessed be the Lord who hath not given us a prey to their teeth. We would be prey to the devil. We would have not escaped the snare of the devil. Verse number 7. Our soul is escaped as a bird out of the snare of the fowler. The snare is broken and we are escaped. Let me tell you something here tonight. If you're lost and somebody's serving life in prison and they're sane, they're free and you're in bondage. You're the slave. So, hey man, the worst kind of bondage there is and the worst kind of slavery there is being a slave to sin. And you can be serving life in prison and know the Lord Jesus Christ and be free as you could ever be. And you can be sitting in this church here right here tonight and you've never been inside of a jail and you can be in bondage and bound up. You're a slave to sin and you can't stop it because we can't stop it on our own. And you don't have anything within you to give you the strength to stop it. Eventually what it's going to do is put you in the grave. That's where we were all heading, brother. That's where we're all heading. Now we all, some of you may not have been as bad as me. I hope you weren't. I hope you weren't as bad as me. And I'm not happy about it. But I'm going to tell you something right now. I know what God saved me out of. I know the family I came from. They didn't take me to church. If I didn't have some kin folks come by and pick me up, I never went to church, hardly ever. That's how I got saved. I grew up in a family that you didn't hear nobody praying, didn't hear nobody talking about God. From the time I was little, I was around card playing and drunkenness and gambling and bad talk and bad things. Listen, raised very poor. No help. No hope. On my way to hell. Raised in a family. I started doing some things that nobody should ever do, but I started them pretty young. And I just want to thank God here tonight, though. Hallelujah. At the age of 8. Now here's the thing about me. I got saved when I was young. But I got saved because somebody carried me to church, but I didn't have a family to keep me going to church. So I got back out in the world. And I'm telling you right now, from about 12 years old to 18, you couldn't have told I was saved. I lived worse after I got saved than I did before. I mean, before you're 9, what's the worst thing you're going to do? Stick your tongue out at your mom or something? You can laugh at that. That's funny. I lived like a devil. But then at 18 years old, God done something in my heart and He put me back on the right track. And I'm 47 here today. Next birthday will be in August. I'll be 48. And ever since then, I've been serving the Lord. But I know where I was heading. And I know that it wasn't going to end well for me. And you know what? Some of you was in maybe not in that exact shape, but in a similar shape. And you just gotten self-righteous. You've just forgotten how good God's been to you. Don't you look down at somebody that's having trouble with the bottle when you used to have trouble with the bottle. Don't you look down at somebody that's having trouble with drugs when you used to have trouble with drugs. Amen. You ought to be praying for them. I'm not saying condone it. You know me. You've heard me preach it up. I don't condone no sin. I blast it. I preach against it. I take a stand against it. I'm against sin. Sin's what put my Savior on the cross. But you better think about this stuff, man. Don't get in your heart, well, that now that I've been doing good to you for the last 15 or 20 years, only because Christ saved your soul. Yeah. We forget where we were heading and we forget where we were going. We get self-righteous and we lose our mercy and compassion for people. Right. All you can think about is, well, what they got on and what they didn't. Won't you just shut up? Won't you just shut your mouth and not worry about what they got on? I'd like to see some things that you had on when you were not saved. You didn't have enough clothes on, bless God, to cover up a gnat, and you worried about where somebody wears some, whatever they wear in the church. And some of you are saved and you still don't dress, put any clothes on. I just don't understand that 35, 40-year-old women trying to dress like teenagers. Nobody wants to see your cellulite. You ought to cover that mess up. When you walk by, you look like two possums fighting in the back. What you want to do is run your mouth about somebody else that ain't never been as bad as you were when you were lost. You forgot what you were when you were lost. You forgot what your interests were and how wicked you were. And if you're here today and you never gotten all that mess like some of us did, just praise the Lord for it. It's just His mercies that you didn't. Just His mercies that you didn't. You didn't have any choice in what family you were born in and where you were born and how you were raised. I didn't have any choice in that. If you were raised in a godly home with a godly mom and daddy, they may not have done everything right, but you ought to thank God for that. A bunch of us didn't get that. I want you to look at this and just you ain't gonna learn no great doctrine tonight. We ain't gonna expound a bunch of verses. We're not gonna have a Bible study up in here. We're not gonna learn a whole bunch of things tonight. I'm just trying to get to touch your heart tonight and get you to thinking about where you would be heading and where you would be right now if it hadn't been for the grace of God. If it had not been for the Lord, we'd been swallowed up. We'd been overwhelmed. The devil had us in his grip and he wouldn't let go. Never once in a while you ought to shout the victory. Not give a rip about what anybody says about it. Just get up and run and holler. I don't care. Gets out of order, I'll set you down. There ain't nothing wrong about shouting for the Lord. You shout for everything else. Now, I'm come from Alabama. Them crazy people down there where I'm from, they talk about I'm not emotional. Some of them say that if they don't want to say amen or praise the Lord. But they're a bunch of liars. Because all of them's emotional when Alabama and Auburn play. They are cussing and hollering and fussing and pulling out pistols and cutting one another and then busting bottles over each other's heads. You're emotional. You're just emotional about the wrong things. My goodness almighty, man, if I was going to get emotional about something, it'll be about the Lord Jesus Christ to save my soul from hell. I'd give them an amen every once in a while. I wouldn't give a rip. Who liked it? You know what some of you need to do? You need to embarrass yourself for the Lord Jesus Christ one day. Get out there on that square and wear your sandwich sign with scriptures on it. Just walk back and forth. Let everybody drive by and say, who's that crazy idiot out there?
Amen.
I'm going to be a fool for Jesus. I've been a fool for a lot less.
Amen.
You need to bear some reproach. That's why a lot of people won't be a member of a church like this. That King James only church and the so-and-so and Holy Hills. And they think, hey man, get out there and bear the reproach. Christ bore the reproach for you. He went up there and let him strip his clothes off and hang up there in front of everybody for you. You know when they're walking by there, they're mocking and they're making fun of the Lord and they say something in mocking, but they don't even realize they're saying the truth. They're going down through there and they're saying, come off the cross, save yourself. And then they say, he saved others because you know Christ raised folks from the dead and he helped and healed people. They said he saved others, but himself he cannot save. They're mocking and making fun of them. But what they said is truth.
Amen.
What they actually said is truth. Christ could not save himself and others. He had to die to save you.
Right.
That's where we'd been. That's where we were headed. I want you to think about this. Let's go back over those again and just give you some examples. I'm just trying to get you to think a little bit tonight. I'm trying to get your heart touched tonight. If it had not been for the Lord, I want you to think about where you'd be tonight. It says he'd be swallowed up. Swallowed up in alcohol and dope, drugs and pills and broke, and alone. Every once in a while we go down the street and we knock on a door when we're soul winning. And you knock on somebody's door and they're older. And they don't have any money and they're broke. And they're out there, come out there on the porch and they're hiding a beer from us because they don't want to. They know it ain't right. And they ain't got any money. They ain't got any family. They ain't got anybody. And they're dying in their sins, lost and alone.
Yeah.
I don't see how in the world that couldn't tear you up. They don't have any money. They don't have any family. They don't have any friends. They don't have nothing. They're lost. They're on their way to hell and they're dying alone. And you think you're just some kind of good person because You're not in that shape. You don't drink beer. And you've been saved and you're a good church member and you've got these church family. You've got people around you that love you. That's God that did all that for you. If it had not been for the Lord, Brother Dan, instead of me and you knocking on doors, somebody would have been knocking on mine. If it had not been for the Lord, you need to think about that. You need to think about it. It said they were overwhelmed by bankruptcy and grief, loss of love. You know what? Grief is a terrible thing. And there are several people in this church that have lost loved ones since I've been here. And some of you lost loved ones before I got here. And you've suffered from it. But thank God you haven't grieved as somebody without any hope. You have hope. If it had not been for the Lord, when my loved one died, I would be dead. Because I would say, I'm never going to see him again. I'm never going to be with him again. I spoke in my last word to him. There's no hope. It all ends with the grave. If it had not been for the Lord, if they die saved and you're saved and you die one day, I'm going to see him again. I don't sorrow as one that has no hope. And you don't either. If it wasn't for the Lord, we have that hope. Seeing our loved ones again. People living in chronic pain. There are some people that would love to be at the service tonight and they can't. They hurt every day. And some of you jump on them about, you know, well, oh, so-and-so over there, he's just old dope head. He's addicted to pills. You better shut your mouth. You better shut. I know you think you're tough. I know you think you're a man. Let me tell you something. God, if he wanted to, can turn the screws and make you hurt bad enough you suck up two bottles of pills. These people don't intentionally do it. They get on it because they're in such pain. Some of you, you've never experienced chronic 24-hour a day, 7 days a week, month after month, year after year pain. You don't know what they go through. You better get off your high horse. If it had not been for God, that'd been me that fell off something working hard all my life in my early 30s like I've known of people that have done and broke my back and live in chronic pain for the rest of my life. And then maybe never smoked a joint, never drank any liquor or anything, but I'm trying to get some relief and get addicted to pills and the rest of my life ruined. You sit back and you look at them and you talk about them and you say whatever you want to. You better get on your knees and say, God in heaven, if it wasn't for you, that'd been me. I've done several things in my life that were foolish and wicked. You ought to have broke my back in five places and laid me up in the bed and never let me walk again. You'd been justified to do it. Oh, I get up every morning. I work hard. I'm a hard worker. Knock it off. Knock it off. There's people all over this world that have more grit and toughness and stick-to-itness and a work ethic better than you. But God allows something in their life that struck them down. And if God wants to strike you down, my friend, He'll strike you down. And you'll never get up and work again. You better give God the glory. You better not forget what He's done for you. I preached that this morning. Hallelujah. You better not forget. Had it not been for God, where we'd be right now, where we'd be winding up one day. I've been to these soup kitchens, some up there, up north where my wife's from, and any of you ever been to these missions and these soup kitchens and these places, you see some of these folks come in there?
Yeah.
And you say, man, well, nah, I don't know. You know, we're going to feed them, we're going to try to minister to them, but why don't he get off the liquor? Why don't he get off the drugs? Why don't he do right? Listen. If the only time you're ever going to have compassion on somebody is when they don't do it to themselves, you're not going to have many opportunities to have compassion. You know what you and I have done in our lives? Many of us. Maybe not you. Maybe you're so spiritual. But what some of you need to do is just take your halo off and let's get honest. Take your halo off so we can see them horns you got. That's what you need to do. You know what I've done in my life many times. I've pulled that pistol out of that holster and I've cocked it and shot my own self in the foot. But I want pity. I've used this illustration. It's been a long time since I used it, but I just thought about it, so I'll use it here. If we were sitting outside that church here tonight And there was old dilapidated bicycle out there. And I said, I'm fixing to take off, church. I'm fixing to go get on this four lane out here. I'm going to go as fast as I can. Everybody was going, no, no, preacher, no, no. No, preacher, you're fat. And this bicycle is old and it's dilapidated. And it's going to hurt you. And I said, everybody just get out of the way. I'm going. And I get out there on the four lane. I'm going just as hard as I can. All of a sudden, the spokes come loose or something, whatever. And the wheel comes off and it just throws me right there in the road, face first. Just bust my head wide open, man. Blood's going everywhere. My nose is over this way. Let me tell you what I don't need. I don't need some stinking church member to run over there and say, I told you so. I told you you were too fat. I told you the bicycle was dilapidated. You shouldn't have done that. What I need for you to do is not none of that. Call the ambulance. Call 911. Don't let my nose fall completely off. After I'm healed, after I'm taken care of, after I'm in my right mind, then you might could come in the hospital room and say, now, Brother Dennis, I think what you did was, well, we did tell you, didn't we? I know, brother, I know. After three reconstructive surgeries on your nose, then you'll say, okay. But what you think is, well, these people, they ought to do right. They ought to do right. Hey, man, you ought to do right. Amen. You don't know what it is to fight an addiction, some of you. You don't know what it is to get some of that stuff on you. You better keep your mouth shut unless you've been there. I like that old Indian proverb, don't judge a man till you walk a mile in his moccasins. Some of you've never had some of those temptations. You weren't raised like some people were raised. You never got started on some of that stuff. You never had to deal with some of that stuff. It's easy for you to sit back. Everybody knows what to do with a tiger, except for the one that's got it by the tail. Very easy for you to sit back and run your mouth about how everybody else is when you don't even know what you're talking about. And if the only time we're going to issue out grace and issue out mercy and issue out compassion is when somebody just accidentally gets into something, then we're not going to be very compassionate. We do it to ourselves. My worst enemy ain't the devil. It ain't the world. What you need to do if you want to figure out who your worst enemy is put you a mirror up in your hall, and every day before you leave, you need to walk and just stop there and go, what are you up to today? Then you'll figure out who your worst enemy is. It ain't the world, ain't the devil, it's you.
Amen.
Devoured by the devil. It could be us sitting here tonight believing a false gospel. Do you ever pity the Mormons that come by? Do you ever pity the Jehovah's Witnesses? Oh, you just want to cuss them out and tell them to leave. What about if that was you believing that mess? That could be you believing that mess. That could be me believing that mess. If it had not been for the Lord, you think you got good doctrine tonight because you're just so pure and clean and right? I bet you don't know you ain't as clean as some of them Mormon missionaries that come up and down that road on a bicycle. You're not. If it hadn't been for the Lord, you wouldn't have got that truth you got tonight. You think you're better than somebody that don't believe the King James Bible is the Word of God? Hey man, maybe God gave you more truth about it than other people. If it had not been for the Lord, you might have had a broken family. Some people, I'm just going to rear back and preach a little bit tonight. You're very rough on divorce, folks. Again, please, I don't know any better way to say this, so I'll just say it real plain. Shut your mouth. Keep your mouth shut. I've never had a divorce. I've been married to the same woman for 23 years. A lot to cut my throat then. But you know why? It's been number one, God blesses, but look what I got. If I was married to a battle axe, some of these people was married to, I would have had a divorce. You better watch your mouth. You don't know the whole story, and everybody running their mouth, and you think that somehow somebody's been through divorce is a second-class citizen. No, you're a first-class dud. The only reason you ain't been through a divorce, if you haven't been through a divorce, is just God was merciful to you and He gave you somebody good that would put up with you. That's about it. If it had not been for God, you'd have been like Elizabeth Taylor. You'd have been married about 9 or 10 times and still ain't found the right one. Your song would be that. When I was a teenager, I used to listen to a rock group called U2. And they had this song out called I Still Haven't Found What I'm Looking For. And I think a lot of people believe in that song. Many, many people as they go through when they get married. Thank God I ain't like U2. I found what I'm looking for. Hallelujah. I found Jesus Christ and I found my wife. I'm not looking for nothing else. But you better keep your mouth shut about other people. You better keep your mouth shut. You talking about everybody else's youngins and how they go bad. Let me tell you something. If you got youngins and they're doing right for God, you better praise the Lord.
Amen.
And you better keep your mouth shut about somebody else's. I'm going to tell you something. Until I had a youngin, I knew a lot about parenting. Until I had a, and I tell you, I was more critical than I should have been about people raising their children. You know what the Lord let happen to me? I wasn't a perfect parent, but my son never went to a public school. He never done the stuff I did. I raised him. We homeschooled him and then put him in a Christian school. Left the church and went out in the world. Better keep your mouth shut about everybody's. If you got youngest doing right tonight, you thank God.
Amen.
It's not because you were some kind of great parent. I was raised in a house with no God, and I'm doing right. From 18 on. And then there's kids that all they knew was being raised right, and they're full of the devil. Amen. Amen. Amen, brother. Amen. We can. How do you elaborate on that? We could be snared by the devil. Devil trapped and imprisoned, blinded, ruined. No hope, no reason. Listen, no reason to get out of bed if it had not been for the Lord. You better get some compassion. You better get some mercy. Y'all, and I know y'all think, well, Brother Dennis, you're one of the meanest preachers I ever heard. You always ranting and raving and carrying on. That's in the pulpit. That's not out of the pulpit. I don't handle and deal with people like that outside the pulpit. You'll never hear me talk to somebody outside the pulpit or handle a situation in my office or be unkind or unmerciful to anybody. When I'm in the pulpit, I'm preaching, I'm proclaiming, I'm trying to get you to think of it. That's a whole different deal up there than out of the pulpit.
Yes, sir.
You have mercy on people. You have compassion on people. You try to go as far as you can with them. And you always have in the back of your mind when you're dealing with anybody, that woman right there that's the messed up I'm trying to help, or that man right there I'm trying to miss the messed up I'm trying to help, or that teenager, just as sure as I'm sitting here, that would be me. If God hadn't have done something. You always keep that in your mind. You always keep it in your heart. God had not intervened and changed our lives, we would be in bad shape tonight. Verse 8 reminds us that those who are overwhelmed and swallowed up and entrapped, their help is in the name of the Lord. If you're here tonight and you're overwhelmed, and you're swallowed up, and you've been a prey to the devil, and he's imprisoned you, and he's messed your life up, I've got some good news for you. There's many of us in here that was in the same sad, sick shape.
Amen.
Right. God done a great miracle in our lives, and he's no respecter of persons. He don't love me no more than he loves you. What he's done for me, he'll do for you.
Yeah.
That same mercy and grace and help that he give me, he'll give it to you. Your help's in the name of the Lord. But anybody here tonight, if you're not saved, if you just, you're not doing right, your sinful choices have put you in a mess. You're in a mess. You find a place at this altar here in a moment. There'll be a woman up here or a man up here that'll pray with you. If you've never been saved, I pray you'll trust Christ tonight before you leave. Christians, don't you ever, ever, ever forget. If it had not been for the Lord, all those people that you think are beneath you or below you, you'd be one of them. You would have saw me as a teenage boy where I lived, what I did, who my family was. You wouldn't listen to me preach today. I don't want God to ever let me forget where I came from. I don't ever want to get too big where I can't talk to somebody. I'm the man of God. That stuff makes me want to puke. I've been guilty of a lot of things, and if you're a lint picker, you can find plenty on me, literally. But thinking I'm better than somebody and thinking I'm this and that great, that ain't my, I struggle with stuff, but that ain't the thing I struggle with. I struggle with thinking I'm worthy to even be up here. If there's anybody that's don't deserve it, I can guarantee you it's me. Some of you need to get a hold of this tonight. You need to get a hold of this. You need to thank God before you leave that He's done these great things in your life. And you need to have mercy and compassion on these folks that ain't where they need to be. And God help us never ever forget. If it had not been for the Lord, that's exactly where we would be. And that's exactly where we'd be heading, to hell. Every head bowed and eye closed. God's dealing.